3, 2, 1.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Feeling good for now. Good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good for now. But I know that by tomorrow I'll probably come around.
Tell me something good. I'm Steve Willey. This is the Feeling Good For Now podcast. This is a show about psychology, pop culture, most of all, the power of positivity. As I said, I am Steve Willey. This is our third episode. So usually I wait a bit to tell something good, but my something good is we are now officially on Amazon, Amazon Music, and as of the day before we tape this, iTunes. So people can hopefully find the podcast a lot easier, and we can probably send a couple cents to Amazon and Apple in these trying days for big business. We hope that we can really raise up their stock price, their stock value, and help the Jeff Bezos of the world. I want to give a thanks, a big shout out to our producer, Nate Milton at N8 Mosaic of Kings of Sport. Very helpful. Always great with the podcasting advice and does a great job of making me sound a lot better and maybe say one or two less ums. And we also got a snazzy new logo. We're not just the Podbean token red bar stripe logo. We have an official logo thanks to my buddy John Pata. You can find him at Head Trauma Productions. He is a graphic artist. He is a movie maker. He's made the film Gags the Clown. And as well as others. The Stylist, that's his newest film. I blanked there for a moment. So thank you to John. We look somewhat official. And so I can look more official, I have to have guests. And my guests are my co-hosts. They're my friends. They're feeling good. And they're here. So we're going to move over to the other side of Lake Michigan from me. First and foremost, my man Jordan Duncan. Jordan, tell me something good.
Well, I will in just one second. Can we talk more about Gags the Clown?
Yes. I just put that out there. I put that out there. I was hoping for a response. Yeah, Gags the Clown. My buddy John, who I've known for many years since I come up here. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the big clown fear summer that was a bit before it came out, and then people were thinking there were clowns everywhere?
Yeah, I think it was the summer of 2016, and then we had a presidential election shortly after. So
John was accidentally a part of that. He and his friend who made the movie Gags did some they were kind of doing some promo work, and they had clown going under this tunnel, which is actually by my work in Green Bay. Took pictures of it, took stills of it, and it ended up being part of that whole clown scare. They're showing, oh, here's a picture of a clown in this. Oh, my God, it's a video. It's super creepy. And it's like, yeah, they were starting to film a movie. It was,
It just kind of goes back to my old saying, you know, even if it's meant for good, nothing good can come from being dressed as a clown.
Right. Well, it went good for them because that was kind of what the point of the movie was about the clown scare before the clown scare even happened.
Gotcha. So viral marketing.
Yeah. Viral marketing on accident. So yeah, Gags the Clown, I'm pretty sure you can find it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, just like you can find our podcast, which we're easier to find than Parler, by the way, Steve.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is something good.
For now and for a long time. That's going to be good.
All right, Glenn Butler, for the third consecutive show, my longtime close personal friend of the program. Glenn, how are you doing?
I am feeling good now that I'm on with you fine folks. I am always glad to do this. I'm always glad to indulge in the power of positivity with you because I want to feel powerful and I want to feel positive, and you always help me do this.
Aww. Yeah, that's kind of the point of the show, right? We have a negative society that we live in, and it takes work, it takes partnership, it takes time to look for the good in the world, and by doing so, it can help turn our own mood around so we can go back into the world and just change things a little bit at a time. And that's what we're hoping to do here. So, Glenn, Tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Well, my good note for this time is about candy, of course.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm interested.
The Reese's company is finally bowing to demand and releasing peanut butter cups that are all peanut butter.
I saw this.
Peanut butter filling, peanut butter shell, no chocolate. You didn't crash your chocolate into my peanut butter. You crashed your peanut butter into my peanut butter. And they're one great taste that tastes great together.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely amazing. I feel that we're going to inadvertently turn into a food podcast very soon after our Mountain Dew segment on the last episode. Right. And I'm going to bring something up later as well.
At least it's all healthy foods.
Yeah, everything that we talk about is very healthy here. Mental health and physical health. Reese's peanut butter cups without the chocolate, Mountain Dew, and we'll have more later. Jordan, I think you went right into Gags the Clown, which I appreciate.
I did.
Appreciates. But yeah, why don't you tell me something good here?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I'm glad to be back. I did not make it onto the last episode because of some scheduling conflicts. But full disclosure, peek behind the curtain, I think if I would have appeared on last month's episode, it would have been tough for me to tell you something good, because last month was pretty rough for my family, my home. Financially, probably, is what has hit us the hardest. COVID, I'm a small business owner. I don't need to go into all the details there, but my wife, through COVID, lost her job last year. The place she worked shut down permanently. And so it's been kind of a rough go. Steve, I know you know this. Glenn, I think you might know this, but her new career path is she is doing an in-home preschool for children, which obviously for children if it's a preschool. I guess I didn't need to add that disclaimer. But it's been a rough couple of months, and she was feeling very, very defeated about it. And in the course of the last 2 weeks, her attendance has become full. She's got a full slate of kids, and she's great at her job. She's great with these kids, and it's just really cool for me to see her doing what she loves to do. And I get to see it up close and in person as the kids are in our home, and I like the kids too. So just very cool, and I feel very good for her that I know she was worrying. You know, when you take a big leap like that and a big step and sink money into something, you wonder, is this going to work? Is this going to come into fruition? And I think she was really hitting that fear as she's doing a good job, but just it's kind of a word of mouth thing, and it hadn't been spreading, and she hadn't been getting students since she was worried. And just like that, kind of the snap of a finger, we went from two students to a full slate, and there's kids on the waiting list and things like that. And I'm just very proud of her. So very cool.
That's wonderful news, because mm-hmm. it's hard enough to start a small business
yeah.
in regular times. Mm-hmm. And when your back's against the wall, like as it is now with this past year, to be able to push through, stick with it, and get past that anxiety that comes with it. Because a lot of small businesses fail right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, my sister owns a small business, and that's been kind of scary the last year, and hopefully they're coming out the other side of it pretty well. And are you an employee yet? Have you become an official employee?
I'm an
independent contractor.
She went to bring it full circle to what we've already talked about. She went to Target the other day and came home, and I pulled out a bag of Reese's peanut butter eggs. I said, "Are these for me?" She said, "I've got to keep my employees happy." So apparently I get paid in peanut butter eggs. So labor union is not helping me much, but yes, I am an employee now.
We don't always need cash. Recognition and sweets.
Right. Yeah.
I think maybe in that circumstance, your abilities to negotiate with your employer are somewhat limited.
Yes. Yeah. There's not much I can do. But the entire bag has been eaten, so I guess I'm a happy employee.
All right, so we all have something out there that we're feeling good about. We have a podcast that is becoming successful. We have dreams of peanut butter candy and chocolate without the chocolate, which is, I mean, that could be a poem right there. So
chocolate, my chocolate.
Yes. Let's take a little bit of a switch into some other news, some positive news in the media. And I've come up with a name. You know, it only takes like three episodes to think of things, you know, several weeks, because that's how my brain works in all these troublesome times. So now it's time for Another News Tonight.
This is Gary Gnu. And the No Gnews is Good Gnews Show, the only TV Gnews program guaranteed to contain no Gnews whatsoever. Nothing bad or wrong ever happens on my show.
So in other news tonight, I will go first here because I've been holding on to this for a month now because it was very exciting for me. Like for those who don't know, I have a degree in education. So teachers are very important to me. And I think they've been people who have had a huge burden in their lives over this past year of COVID, where they are expected to do so much more than what their job entails. So anytime I see positive news about a teacher, I get excited, especially when they are rewarded for their efforts. So this comes all the way from India, where a village teacher in India won $1 million because he is the world's most exceptional educator, the best teacher in the world. And I apologize because I'm probably going to just screw this name up completely, but Ranjit Singh Desale is the winner of this Exceptional Educator Award. And I really like this story because it's just a person who comes up to just a ton of seemingly impossible obstacles and just is able to think outside the box to come up with solutions and just keep going, not just like living off of that. So he was in a small village in India and wanted to provide access for education, especially for girls in the area, because a lot of times the girls would end up being thrown into child marriages, or they would just end up working on the farm instead of going to school to help with the families. So they were very low income families. So the original classroom that he walked into for these kids was literally overrun by farm animals. Not sure if we have that problem in the United States these days. We have plenty of other problems with our education system, but farm animals overrunning the class, not generally a problem. So in order to get some of these girls to attend school, he realized that the local village language was different than his own. So he started learning the local village language and then would go to the homes to try to convince the parents to allow their girls to attend school. On top of that, the parents then couldn't help the kids with school because of the differing language. So he tried to transfer all of the lessons, all of the textbooks, first translating them into the local language. That didn't work because the files came corrupted, because the cell phone service is really bad. So he created QR codes to transfer the lessons to the QR codes so that the parents could help. So he's teaching the parents. And like at this point, like I saw if I would see the farm animals in the room, I'd be out. So he'd go into the fields, he would translate the curriculums, he put it into QR codes. He needed to get a laptop to teach, like show movies and songs, and then that would teach it a little bit better. And so then it would go to like their siblings or kids who weren't going to school. The performance of all these kids just increasingly rose and rose and rose. And it eventually completely obliterated all teenage marriages in the community.
Wow.
No more teenage marriages. There was 100% attendance rate. And India was so happy with this that they took his idea about the QR codes, and now they have QR codes in the entire state, and now they're making it work in the entire country so they can have explanatory videos for students who might need a little bit more help understanding what's in the textbook, or parents to help understand it. And then by doing so, he was also able to help these kids learn virtually once COVID shut everything down. So incredible work. He's still trying to expand this to others. And if you think that this man is not like exceptional enough, he gets this $1 million prize. And what does he do with it? He splits it with all the five runners up.
Oh my gosh.
Like, so he's, and then he's using, so he took, he's keeping half of the $1 million. And then there were 9 other finalists from all over the world. He's sending money out to them. And then he's going to use his money instead of enriching himself. He's creating, he wants to create a whole network of teachers that are similar to him in India who are bringing innovation and learning. So like one man, talk about like, you know, the power of positivity, like just coming up with so many different obstacles and just like, just smashing through all of them. It's really cool.
Wow. That's pretty great. I was, Googling, while you were telling this story, and I'm reading the story as you're explaining it. And one thing it's even more so is when you said farm animals, I'm picturing like goats or sheep. It says buffaloes were in the classroom. So like not just small animals, gigantic beasts are in the classroom. Wow. That's really awesome.
Cows and buffaloes. A farmer had turned it into a cattle shed and refused to leave.
Wow. Wow.
All right, Jordan, it sounds like you're researching. You probably have some knowledge that you want to drop. So
yeah, so I my story is not, I don't think it's as inspiring, but I think it's encouraging. I want to share an article that I read from Relevant Magazine, which is a kind of like Christian media. And as a Christian, I have to humbly admit that it's not always easy to find positive stories from people in the Christian world, people in leadership and things like that. In fact, it's often discouraging. And this story on the surface kind of seemed like that. But the way I kind of took from it, to me, I think is a little bit of inspiring that maybe more people can follow in his lead. But there's a guy who ran a ministry named Jeremiah Johnson. He called himself a prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T rather than P-R-O-F-I-T. I think the distinction needs to be made. But he was one of many who prophesied about our former president, Donald Trump, was a big supporter of his. And he prophesied, like many of these, I use quotations when I say prophets, that Trump would win re-election in 2020. And we all know that did not happen. We know that we have a new president, Joe Biden. But some people in this group have not really let that go. We've all heard those stories. In fact, Steve, you and I are in a group chat with a few people where we share some of these stories and discuss them. But this guy actually did something. As I started to read the article, I'm like, great, another one, you know? But he actually took the step to admit that he was wrong, and he shut down his ministries. Now he's kind of relaunching and rebranding in a different way, but he released kind of a lengthy letter saying, I was wrong, admitted that saying he was wrong was not enough to own the mistake, and that there's some consequences need to be made. And so he is eating a lot of cost by shutting down his ministries and things like that. And there's not much to the story, like the story you shared, I think is a lot more inspiring, but like I said, encouraging for me, because I think one of the negatives we face a lot in our interactions with each other, in the articles that we read, in the names that we see on television and stuff like that, is just the stubborn refusal to ever admit fault with ourselves and ever say that we were wrong about things. We always have a boogeyman to blame, and we always try to paint whoever is opposed to us as the real culprits. And so to read an article about a guy who I probably would disagree with and a lot of things, and he actually says, I was wrong, I screwed it up, it's so I guess it's a bummer that it's so uncommon, but it's encouraging to see someone. I don't know this guy. I've never heard of him before this. I don't know how vast his audience is, but the fact that he's taking a big financial hit shows that it's bigger than my audience or possibly our audience. But it's encouraging to see some people say, you know what, I did something wrong. And I'm going to make amends. And I think that's something we can be encouraged by. And yes, I guess we could be inspired to examine ourselves and say, you know, where have we gone wrong in our life? And where have we gone wrong in how we are with other people? And are we willing to make that proclamation and say, I screwed up, and I'm going to do my best to make sure I don't do this again, and walk down that road of reconciliation and change ourselves for the better? We're so focused often on, you know, we want to change. Everybody wants to change the world. Everybody wants to fix the world. And that's a noble idea. But we rarely look at ourselves and where we can fix within. And so just a small article. And I hope that he sticks to it. And, you know, it's pretty new. And the cynic in me says perhaps it's just a rebranding. Maybe. I hope that I'm wrong. And I hope that that cynical part of me is wrong. And I hope that this is really just a guy who had a real defining moment in his life and said, you know what, all this stuff, all these eggs that I put into this basket are rotten, and I need to dump it out and start fresh. So I think that's something we can all look at and say, you know what, it's scary. Kind of goes back to my telling you something good with my wife starting fresh with a new job, very different circumstances that put us there. But I read that story and I'm like, good. It's good to read stories like this where people who were wrong can admit they were wrong and move on from there. So that's what I shared. It's on relevantmagazine.com. You can find that.
Excellent. Yeah. It's always, it's sad that it has to be refreshing that people take ownership of their mistakes. And that
I wasn't sure that I wanted to share that story, 'cause I'm like, it's really not the most inspiring thing, but that's how I took it, you know?
And it doesn't have to be that. That's I think the fun part about the show is that it doesn't have to be this big inspiring thing. It can be just like little things that like, oh yeah, they could wake up our minds a little bit and make us think differently than what we see on an everyday basis, or it could be Mountain Dew recipes, you know. That's
right.
That's the great thing about, you know, what we're doing, not to toot our own horns, but yeah, it's almost like a literal come to Jesus moment, right?
Right. Yeah. That phrase was in my brain. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what it is as I was reading it. And then I actually was going to say that, and it just didn't come to the tip of my tongue there. But yeah, that's kind of exactly what it is.
Excellent. Excellent. Good article. And I'm a little excited about Glenn's article here. Glenn, I'm going to start calling you every other name. besides your own name. I called you Scott before we went on the air. This is very similar to my grandmother, who, when she got older, started calling me by every name besides my own, including Tanya, my cousin, my female cousin. Yeah, not even close. So, Glenn, I'm excited about this. I'll have to be careful not to become negative on your article because of things that I heard around my home. So, Glenn, what is your other positive news this evening?
Oh, goodness. Well, first, just on Jordan's article, I always try to take the view that it should be possible for anyone who's done harm to, number one, stop.
Right.
And number two, try to make amends. Like, no matter how much harm that they've done, it would be very hard in some circumstances and take a lot of work, but I like to think that that should be possible for anyone. And so I try not to be too cynical, and I try not to buy into, you know, the draw to vengeance and the sort of bloodthirst that goes into a lot of condemnation that people get. I'm all for condemning a lot of things, but
right, it's often satisfying, like, if we're being honest, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that pull toward cynicism as much as anyone who's ever had any conversation with me at all could tell you. But I like to think that it's possible for anyone to realize, I've been wrong, I've done harm. I try to do this when I can be convinced that I've done something wrong, but I absolutely hope that whoever's doing that in whatever context they have to is being honest and genuine. My article this time is on environmental issues, which is another arena where you don't often find good news. I saw an article just earlier today about an offshore wind farm project that has passed one important round of regulatory checks that is hopefully going to be installed off of the coast of Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts in the United States. Now, the offshore wind power capacity currently in the United States is extremely, extremely paltry because this sort of project gets opposed very firmly. So I am very glad to see a relatively large scale project move forward, and I hope very much that it'll pass final approval and actually get built sooner than later. The project is calling for up to 84 wind turbines off of the coast of Massachusetts that could power about 400,000 homes.
Yeah.
And really any expansion in renewable power is absolutely welcome, is absolutely necessary. And offshore wind power is generally more consistent and more productive than land-based wind power because the winds in the sea are a little more consistent and a little more powerful. So that, I think, is a very promising avenue, and I hope there are more projects like this that are moving forward.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that a big wake-up call was in Texas this winter, where the way they run their electricity system or their energy system down there is kind of capitalism gone haywire. And, you know, with, of course, big oil trying to fight until their dying days, trying to fight alternative energy instead of really taking advantage of the fact that they could have the grid to start this alternative energy and the money to do it and profit massively from it if they wanted to. But that's a whole other thing. To see these kind of things taking off, and there is always that pushback, and it looks like in this case it was the pushback of massively rich people. But I've also seen it in Wisconsin, where I live, where they have turbines kind of in the middle of the state, in this town called Fond du Lac, and people are like, it's ruining our view. And it's like, it's on the highways. There is no view. Like, what kind of view are you talking about? Or my favorite, that someone around who lived near the turbines got cancer. And so they are blaming the cancer on the windmills as if they're people don't just get cancer. Like, that's your argument. One person got cancer.
When there are so many things that, you know, the consensus of the medical community could conclude are actually causing cancer.
Right.
Yeah. We have this technology available. We know what works, but we as humans get in the way. And so when there's adults leading the way who know what they're doing and have the education and the know-how and then working together to fix these problems, that's what really makes America great. You know what I'm saying?
To coin a phrase.
Yeah. Should put that on a hat.
They should. Well, excellent news, guys. I appreciate the research. And I appreciate your time. And I will give you the time to do some plugs, to plug what you're doing, to plug your schools. You know, maybe we can get someone from Germany to come by Jordan's house to make Jordan's wife some money, more kids. Yeah. So Jordan, what are you doing lately? What do you have to plug?
Well, I have been doing Rank and File monthly over on the North South podcast. Something you guys have been on a couple episodes of the original Rank and File back in the day. We got a little bogged down into the wrestling world there, and it's weird. I'm a fan of wrestling, but I don't really like doing podcasts about wrestling that much. So I kind of let that project die, and then we resurrected that back in September. We do monthly. Our last one we just talked about was Arrested Development Characters, which is a great, great show that I don't hear a lot of podcasts about. This coming month, we are talking about revamping the format a little bit. We aren't sure we're going to do that yet, so I won't go into too many details. I've also been doing a trivia show podcast with Andy Atherton. That's actually pretty fun. Michael Cook helps us out as well. He's our timekeeper. But it's kind of like just your basic trivia. Three people get questions, but we do like pop culture. Like we did a Star Wars episode recently, and it's fun, you know. It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point, and Andy's really put a lot of work into it. He's putting a lot of effort behind the scenes into making it happen. He's even bought like a title belt as a prize, and I don't know if he bought it, but or a place to be. Funds have allowed it, but just a lot of work put in from Andy, and I appreciate all the time and energy he's put into that. But let me plug a couple other things that are not just my voice. One, I will plug the Play and Learn Academy. You can find us on Facebook. You can check out the pictures of Space Week as well as all the other themed weeks. We had Dr. Seuss Week just last week. Well, Reading Week, but Dr. Seuss was all over the place. He's not canceled at Play and Learn Academy, I can tell you that. So, and I will plug one other new podcast, and it's a little bit of a blind plug, guys. I haven't fully listened to it yet. But a old high school friend of mine, his name is Dennis Proctor. I follow him on Twitter. We used to actually be neighbors. It's kind of a funny story. We went to high school together and found out through finding each other on Facebook that we lived two blocks apart from each other as adults. We had children the same age and everything. He's moved away since then, probably because of me, but we'll not get into that. But he's launched his own podcast, and it's kind of cool. It's called Broken Buttons. Dennis has always been a music aficionado. He plays the guitar, he sings, his kids are very musical, and he loves doing deep dives on music. And he likes to look into underappreciated artists, kind of like music you've never heard of type deal. He launched his first episode, so I thought it'd be cool to give him a nice little plug. You can follow them on Twitter. The podcast is Broken Buttons and the number 0. That's how you can find it on Twitter. The first episode, he talks about a band called Green. Steve, have you ever heard of Green?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, so it's cool because it's music that I have certainly never heard of, but I kind of trust Dennis's musical interests. And then he kind of does a side A and a side B. And side B, he talks about Howard Tate, a Philadelphia soul singer. So kind of a fun thing. I listened to the first few minutes, and I didn't have time to finish it. I just thought I'd give my friend a nice little plug there. But his name's Dennis Proctor. You can find him on Twitter as well, but I don't have his Twitter handle in front of me. Broken Buttons is the name of the podcast. If you're a music fan on Twitter, it's Broken Buttons here. I think right now the podcast is only on Spotify, but that's an easy workaround to find. That's about it for me. Also, you can check out The Price is Right on Pluto TV at any time. So.
Yeah, I believe that was on episode 1 where we discussed that, and I haven't given up my addiction to it.
It's, you sure have not.
No, it is a warm, comfortable blanket. Yeah. Glenn, anything that you wanted to plug?
Yes, I actually have a podcast with my brother that we have spun off of the Place to Be Network, done a little rebranding. We are working on coming back with regular episodes soon, but we have the archives of all of our past episodes and a little short reintroduction that we did recently as we prepare to come back full time. That is the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, which, much like this show, I think is titled something that we would like to live up to. Mm-hmm. And so it's aspirational, I feel. That is at nontoxicfanboys.com. We are coming back at the beginning of April. It is going to be National Film Score Day, and we are going to be coming back with our discussion of current or semi-current film scores from 2020 before we do the Oscar nominees, as is traditional. And then after that, we're going to be back into other music episodes, some other TV and film episodes, some more score episodes. I think we have many of those planned. And otherwise, he's generally moving forward with whatever we'd like to discuss on there, but always trying to do it in the context of approaching things not in a Pollyanna-ish way, but in a non-cynical, non-toxic, basically, fashion. So That is, again, nontoxicfanboys.com, the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast. Find it wherever you listen to your podcasts, except Spotify, because I think because of the music clips that we include in a lot of our episodes, Spotify would be a little complicated. But otherwise, it should be anywhere you want to listen to your podcasts.
Awesome.
We all need to be aspirational. Aspire to good. So for me, I just want to give a shout out to the Kings of Sport, that is Nate Milton's podcast and their Patreon as well. You can find me on the Place to Be podcast wrestling feed for the main event, in which I host with Nate and Scott Criscolo talking about current wrestling. Hopefully, I like to talk about things exploding. So things exploding mixed with wrestling, that's right up my wheelhouse. If you know, you know. And also check out the PTBN Pop Feed, North-South Connection podcast network, where you can also might be listening to this very podcast on it as well. And I think that is all the plugs for me. So we can get right back into the show. Get right back into some pop life. Now we have our show within a show. Glenn recommends a podcast. I'm assuming that this is the case. I'm assuming, Glenn, that you have a podcast to send us, something that you've been enjoying, watching, reading, things you've been listening to. Is there indeed a podcast today?
I think we'll always have more podcasts to recommend. I listen to so many podcasts. I spend quite a bit of time out walking every day. And, you know, in my lockdown solitary walks. And so I've been mowing through podcasts in great numbers. And one that I am mowing through right now is the Tides of History podcast. Right now, the Tides of History podcast is in a season about the deep past of the human race, talking about the development and origins of the species proceeding from prehistoric forms into the beginnings of societies, the beginnings of nations and governments, and the spread of humanity, the development of humanity, the creation of each aspect of what humanity is. And I think one really remarkable aspect of it is the way that it tries to center the experiences of all of the people of various levels of society, because the people that we have records of when we have records, which is relatively late in the period they're covering, but a lot of the people that we do have records of, a lot of the things that we can confirm are about, you know, the leaders, the elites, the powerful, in societies where there were elites, in societies where there was structured inequality, which there isn't always, which is important to remember as well. These are choices, and these are things that were invented by people. But there's also a lot that we can tell about more common experiences by other forms of evidence. And there is so much I find fascinating about how much we can read out of how little detail, you know, because you find any excavations from the deep, deep past, and it's a fragment of bone, it's a shard of pottery, and there is so much that can be told, can be found and extrapolated, that I just think it's fascinating how much we can tell from how little, and therefore how much we're still missing. And how just a couple of small discoveries can change everything we know about a field or a group of people. It's fascinating, and there is so much to it that it's a fascinating, fascinating podcast. I recommend it to anyone interested in the topic.
Yeah, that is cool. It's incredible to see how much of history is really still unknown to most of us. and to find history that is not written by those elite, those in power, is satisfactory for sure.
Well, it just reinforces the idea that everything we take for granted, literally everything we take for granted as far as how we act and how our societies are structured, was invented by someone.
Yeah.
Hmm. Often, well, multiple times.
Yes.
In multiple places.
Yes, or borrowed from other other people's inventions. And
yeah, and there's no easy progression. Like, we have this idea of historical progress, right? That people were hunter-gatherers, and then someone invented agriculture, and then suddenly everyone decided agriculture is the best. Everyone became farmers. None of this is linear, right?
Right, right.
And there's, in that example, in the instance of the creation of agriculture, I mean, there are gradations and there are gray areas. Like, if a group of foragers starts returning to a certain place to use certain plants that they've decided they've liked, are they farming? If they you know, discard seeds or whatever after they've eaten a plant, and then that grows and they come back the next year to eat those, are they farming? You know, how intentional does it have to be? How detailed does their thinking about it have to be? How habitual does it have to be? Like, all of these, again, are definitions that are invented by people. All of these are labels that are placed on how little we can tell about how much people were doing. And so there's always a gradual transition, and none of it is linear.
Yeah, it's incredibly interesting. And it's just really fascinating. It's not just like the history itself, but we're kind of redoing the way we think.
Yeah.
And the way we've been taught to learn over so much times. And, you know, history can be relegated to a paragraph, and that is not as that that's I can't think of the word I want to use, but reality is much more complex than that.
Well, it's levels of understanding, right? I think a lot of lay people approach topics that we're not experts in, topics we haven't studied specifically, with the background that we were given, which in a lot of cases is very slight. I mean, we all, none of us here is a scientist. You know, we're not biologists or physicists or whatever. We had a class in school years ago, and you find in a lot of environments, you find people approaching scientific topics with the background that they got in 10th grade biology.
Right.
You know, and that sort of simpler understanding that you have when you have to cover a lot of things quickly in a school environment, in a primary or secondary school environment, that then informs the way that people think about actual complicated, complex areas of study. And so it's important to know the limitations of your knowledge, and it's important to, if it's something that you're interested in, that isn't your particular field of study, to be able to tell a little bit where the experts are and kind of afford them some credibility on things that they've studied more than you have.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something to that. Like, I think this leads us down a negative road where too often we want everything to have an easy to understand explanation. And most of the things in our world aren't quite there. You know, I mean, we can nutshell version things, but if we want to really have true understanding, we're never going to get it from like the synopsis. We're going to have to really do some real digging. or hunting or gathering.
Oh, Jordan, I'm assuming that you are bringing something to the table that is as serious and as important as Glenn. So I'm going from the massively inspirational, the massively informative, both times, to you. I can only assume that it's going to have something to do with farts.
Yeah. No. Honestly, in terms of podcasts, I don't have a whole lot of new stuff. In fact, the new stuff to me is Glenn's recommendations from previous episodes. Like, I've been on You're Wrong About since episode one. And so I can just say I am a testimony to Glenn's recommendations being worth checking out. I think it was episode one where Glenn recommended the You're Wrong About podcast, and I gave it a shot. I subscribed, I started listening, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm a couple episodes behind because I get behind on podcast episodes very, very quickly. So I think I'm comfortable with letting us just rest in Glenn's recommendation there and just say, yes, Glenn's are good. That's okay. All I have to say.
Here we are in episode three, and we're already getting meta.
Yeah.
Your recommendation for Pop Life is recommending Glenn's recommendations from Pop Life. Oh, it's beautiful. I absolutely love it. I will bring my own to the table. This is, I don't want to say lowest common denominator stuff, but it's definitely a step back. So one thing I started doing over the past year of COVID is I'm trying to take up crossword puzzles a little bit more. It's something that my grandparents did. My one grandfather was an extraordinary crossword puzzle player. And so I got the New York Times crossword app. And then I found that the first 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I could do pretty well at. And then as you get later on in the week, and especially Sunday, they're literally impossible. So they have another game, which is much more to my speed, called Spelling Bee. And in Spelling Bee, they give you 1, 2, 3, I'm doing my 6 letters outside and one letter in the middle. And every single word that you put in has to have the letter that's in the middle. You want to come up with as many words as you can come up with, 4 letters or more. 4-letter words, you get 1 point. Every other word, you get points based on how many letters there are. And then there's at least one pangram, which uses all the words, and you get bonuses for that. So it kind of has kept my mind going. It's really addicting. I want to play it every single day. So the Spelling Bee, if you like word games, if your mind is going to jelly, my wife has started doing it too, although she didn't upgrade her app. So she does 7 words and it kicks her up and wants her to upgrade. So she thinks that's good because that way she doesn't feel like she'll ever lose. Which, man, that's a good strategy now that I think about it. You win every game because you don't play the entire game. Brilliant.
Sneaky.
And my other recommendation, Glenn and I listen to My Brother and My Brother and Me, and they often have, which is a podcast, they often talk about food. And the big thing over the last year plus have been the chicken sandwich wars. Started and pretty much won by Popeyes, and everyone else saw how good Popeyes was doing. So they wanted to come up with their own crispy chicken sandwich too. Because, we just said, people don't have their own ideas. A lot of times they just want to copy what is successful. But I have a chicken sandwich. It has nothing to do with crispy chicken. And it is my go-to lunch food when I forget my lunch. I've started going back to work a little bit, and I've been forgetting my lunch constantly. We are not getting paid for this. If you want to pay me in sandwiches, I'm more than happy to take them. But it is Jersey Mike's. I don't know if you have Jersey Mike's out by you guys. Their buffalo chicken sandwich. It is the messiest sandwich. It's pretty much just grilled chicken. They grill it right there. They throw some lettuce on it. They throw some blue cheese on it. They throw a ton of hot sauce on it, and then some tomatoes. And it's pretty simple, but it is my favorite chicken sandwich. I used to be a Subway person. I don't even want to go to Subway. All I want to do is eat this sandwich. I will inevitably spill it all over my shirt, which is great for work. I tried eating it in the car once. That went well. found continued to find like lettuce and sauce all over the seat and then my pants. But the buffalo chicken cheesesteak sandwich at Jersey Mike's, you throw that down with a nice Mountain Dew. We should write into Mountain Dew and talk to their sommelier about pairing these two together. But that is my chicken sandwich. Have you guys looked at any of the chicken sandwiches? Have you jumped on the chicken sandwich train?
I might not be the best person to comment on the chicken sandwich wars at the moment, given a few factors, I suppose. Number one, I'm not going to give Chick-fil-A any money at any point in time. Number two, I haven't actually gone through any of those restaurants in a year. And number three, I actually went vegetarian at some point in the last few months.
There's a lot of flexing going on right now.
depending on one's definitions. It's been somewhat longer since I had like an actual big old piece of something, but I found a bunch of chicken stock in my cabinet and used that for some stuff, but that's gone now, so whatever. My comments won't be all that current, but from my experience, that Popeye sandwich is real good.
Yes, I can confirm. Quite tasty. This is my wheelhouse, boys.
Oh, that's why I asked Glenn first, because I knew you were ready to, I know you were going to be teeing up on this one if I brought it up. See, my family is vegetarian too, and I'm not. So I have to go sneak out to get this kind of stuff.
Gotcha. I think the most underrated good thing about the Popeye's chicken sandwich is it's relatively cheap compared to other fast food places. I don't know if I'm sure COVID hit it somehow, but it seems like fast food prices have gone up in the past year. I've got a family that often we need to eat meals quick, and we eat fast food more than we should, and also more than I will admit to. The Popeye's chicken sandwich is a pretty good price, but it is the undisputed king. You know, we've tried some of the competitors. The one that I thought was weird was, I don't go there often, but I was at KFC not that long ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and they had a sign that said, "We've got a chicken sandwich now." I'm like, how did KFC not have a chicken sandwich before 2021? That doesn't seem right to me. Didn't they have a sandwich where the bread was chicken?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they had the double down, my man. Yeah.
Like, so I don't know if they're like kind of doing advertising and just expecting us to forget, but I would think that the place that exclusively sells chicken would have had a chicken sandwich prior to this. So
they even introduced the double down, and that was a whole meme. Mm-hmm. And then they walked back the double down and put it on bread.
Yeah, so they've clearly had chicken sandwiches before. But yeah, if I do quick rankings, I've never had the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. Popeyes is undisputed number one. Burger King, which is interesting that it's in the Burger King, their chicken sandwich, the original, is quite good. I will try the Jersey Mike's, Steve. I did a quick Google while you were talking about it, and there is one close enough to where it's not embarrassing to drive to just on the recommendation of a friend and walking in and saying, "I've never been here. Give me your sloppy buffalo chicken sandwich."
Yes.
You know, it's relative to where I could be like just going and running errands and be like, "Oh, there's that Jersey Mike's. I'll stop in," you know. But yeah, you really got me going here with these chicken sandwiches. They're all good. But here's something that they can bring it all home. Did you know, Steve, that KFC has their own Mountain Dew flavor?
I do know this. I have never tried it before.
Sweet Lightning. I tried it, and I believe it's peach flavored. So it's peach flavored Mountain Dew.
Wow.
And it's exactly what you would expect it to be. Mountain Dew, but it tastes like peach.
It looks like radioactive urine.
I didn't know that it was peach flavored, and if you showed it to me, that would not have been my guess. But when I took a drink, I'm like, "Oh, is this peach?" And then I actually like went online to see what Sweet Lightning was, and it was, in fact, it's peach, and I think there's something else. I'd have to bring it up. Let me bring that up while I'm talking here. The Mountain Dew Sweet Lightning, sweet peach and smooth honey.
Nice.
Yeah. Can't taste the honey at all, by the way. Just the peach.
Right. I'm sure there's no actual honey.
No bees were harmed in the making of this soda.
Yeah. Just so you know, the Double Down is coming back to KFC.
Just so you know, I will not be eating it. I want to be feeling good, Steve, for now and for a while.
Yes, you will be feeling good for quite a while.
Yeah, no.
All right. Well, there you go. Tides of History podcast. All of the things that Glenn recommends. The New York Times Spelling Bee. Jersey Mike's Buffalo Chicken Sandwiches. These are all the things we are recommending for you right now. If you try any, hit us up. Let us know what you think. Before we head out, let's do a little spectacular advice.
Listen as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool. You gotta be calm. You gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day. Herald what your mother said.
If you want to ask us questions, if you have thoughts, if you need dating advice, if you need help picking out a chicken sandwich, the email is spectacularadvice@gmail.com, and we will answer your questions on the show. Whether if you don't want us to say your name, that's fine. We'll make one up for you. But one thing I want to talk about really quick, it actually comes from Jordan's neck of the woods out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, University of Michigan. Ooh. One of the best schools you could possibly go to. Jim Harbaugh did not write this article, thankfully. But it is 10 things that you can do for your mental health. And I'm not going to completely read the article. I can probably post it within our description. I like this because it's simple. I always like mental health advice that is easy, and there are a lot of things that you could choose from. So if you just look at one or two, this could help you. You don't have to do all 10. So the 10 things, one is value yourself. So treat yourself with kindness and respect. Make time for your hobbies. Number two, take care of your body. You know, via food, exercise, and sleep. I realize that we are recommending food that is terrible for you. So maybe in moderation, people. Three is surround yourself with good people, whether it's family, friends. Now that we're opening up a little bit, maybe joining a class or like a support group or a sport or virtual stuff as well. Give yourself, meaning you volunteer to help someone else. Learn how to deal with stress. They recommend something like walks, which we recommended earlier, like very short meditations, journaling. Actually, meditating and mindfulness was the next one. Quiet your mind. I did over the last, since our last episode, I tried meditating twice. It was like a guided meditation. I am good at meditating for 5 minutes.
Yep.
And that has been shown to help. But I even tried doing a 10-minute meditation where you just listen to the person. And I made it through 5 minutes of that. And I'm like, okay, I'm good now. But it did help. Seven, we talked about this last time, setting intentions. So setting realistic goals, something you want to do. For example, this podcast for me was something I wanted to do. And I'm hopefully we'll be maybe picking up the pace of them. Who's to know? Number eight, break up the monotony. So try to mix up, instead of doing the same habit each day, maybe mix something up once in a while. If you're going for a walk, try a different route. on a weekend, you know, plan a little quick day trip. Number nine, avoid alcohol and other drugs. At least keep alcohol use to a minimum. And 10, get help when you need it. Asking friends for help, asking a health professional, asking a family member. But, you know, hopefully someone with some, you know, knowledge in what you're looking for. Don't use Google. Any quick comments on any of those? Anything that's pretty all encompassing. But I do like that. Like, hey, when you have a list, like, oh, I can maybe pick out one of these things and try. Like, I already avoid vaping. Not a vapor.
I think of that list, one that sticks out for me that is so easy to fall into is breaking up the monotony. That's especially, I think, with COVID, you know, where it's kind of limited our routines and limited what we can do this past year. Monotonous is a very good way to describe how a lot of us have probably lived the past year of our lives. And so there's something to monotony. There's some piece there to knowing your routines, but sometimes your routines can be what are setting you back, and sometimes your routines can be what are keeping you from getting to where you really need to be. I know that's something I've dealt with recently, is just kind of like taking stock of what I'm doing with my time, because on one hand, I'll feel like I don't have time to do something. Then on the other hand, I'll realize I've wasted a lot of time because, you know, oh, I don't do this now. I do this at this time, or I go here at this time. And, you know, you really question, like, okay, well, why do I do it that way? Just because I've always done it doesn't mean I always have to do it that way, or always have to do it in this method. But I think breaking up the monotony is really helpful, because it kind of just really puts you on that path to doing things differently, and maybe forcing – I hate to use the term forced out of the comfort zone, because that sounds so forceful, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. But there's something to that. I really think there is something to doing something just slightly different. It doesn't have to be big, which kind of goes in with setting, you know, realistic goals. It doesn't have to be, you know, world changing. But if you just change a few steps, that can really produce a difference.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I feel like at the beginning of the pandemic, when it didn't seem like it was going to last that long, it was easier to come up with some novel ideas.
Yeah, like, let's all bake bread. Let's learn how to bake bread.
Yeah, you know? Like, oh, okay, we can go to, you know, this outdoor park, or, you know, and spend some time there. Like, I have found many days where I wonder, even in the past couple of weeks, where I have one child home most of the time, where I do some stuff, and the next thing you know, it's like 2 o'clock, and like, what, how did that happen? Where did the day go? Like, I wanted to do so much, and I don't think I did anything. And kind of making that time and getting out of, like, okay, I'm going to go and get coffee. I'm going to go and check my, you know, emails, and check my phone. You know, I do totally agree with that. Thinking we don't have time when we actually do have time.
Yeah, that's a big one for me.
Yeah, like I used to love watching movies, and I haven't been doing that for, God, like a good couple of years at this point. And I think when I want to start a movie, I'm like, oh, you know, 2 hours, that's so long. But then I can go on my phone for an hour and get nothing out of it when I could have watched, you know, half of a movie in that point. So, I mean, maybe that's something I could do before our next show, is maybe watch a with, like you were talking about earlier, Glenn, with your podcast, you have the film scores coming out, the Oscars coming out. Maybe I can watch a couple of those movies besides Tom and Jerry, which I watched on HBO Max over the past couple of weeks. And that would not be something I recommend in your Pop Life segment of the show. Glenn, any comments on some of those tips, those hot tips, that spectacular advice?
I think the one that I really ought to try, and the one that I've intended to and have not gotten around to, is meditation. I know that's very helpful for a large number of people, and I've always had kind of a vague idea that I really ought to get around to that at some point, but I should, as you say, set an intention.
Yes. Don't shoot yourself.
Exactly.
That will hold you back, but yeah. I really recommend doing like a guided meditation if it's something you want to try. There's an infinite on YouTube of them. Yeah. And just doing even if you do like 2 minutes, just to turn off your brain. People think that you have to, I was talking to someone the other day who thought they'd have to give up their religion if they did yoga or meditation. What?
Talk to someone that I know, huh?
You can't do yoga because you have to be Buddhist to do yoga. I'm like, but yeah, just to have basically someone do the work for you, so you just kind of sit and listen, and keep it really easy. I'm sure there are people who can do 30 minutes, can do an hour, and do it without anything, just in their own mind, and that's incredible. But that's like, hey, I want to start a running. I'm going to start with a marathon.
Right.
All right, so we want to thank everyone for listening to this, our third episode. We want to thank Nate Milton for doing the production. We want to thank Jordan Duncan. We want to thank Glenn Butler. Heck, I'll thank myself. Why not? Thank you, Steve. Hopefully we'll be coming with you another one within the next month. Like I said, if you have any questions you want answered, check out spectacularadvice@gmail.com and drop us a line. And with that, we will see you later, and we hope that you can feel good for now.